sometimes in life you find yourself on the right side of the line, where the skies open up and cast a towering shadow, guarding you from the worst life has to offer. And then, that same sky rips away that warm blanket from your clutching arms and casts it into the night. Now, you are on the wrong side of the line. And that's why I'm here, to keep you in line. A line we call the Dry Line.
Now a member of the Global Ag Network.
So tell me, Landon, can you make any money showing steers?
No.
How much no?
An F no.
Oh, okay. That's interesting that you heard that from somebody that I know yesterday. Not that I knew yesterday, but I still know, but that said told you that yesterday.
Yeah, I was learning a lot yesterday.
It sounds like it. Everything. That's kind of how the co-op is, and that you get that's kind of your daily dose of community gossip.
We learn a lot. Learn a lot sitting in that chair.
You get how much time is in the lobby before you start your day?
Oh, we spend about 30 minutes.
30 minutes. That's your pregame.
Yeah, that's getting ready. That's what we call prep.
Do you have your usual customers? I'm sorry, they're owners of the company, aren't they? Because they're co-op members.
Oh no, it's pretty much just
the employees.
Me and the boss man and couple other guys, yeah.
You and the boys.
All employees.
Going over the lines and the spreads and all that and everything.
Going over the weather. The
parlays.
Oh, looks like sun's shining today. All right, what about tomorrow?
Yep. Gets pretty deep there, huh?
Sure could use rain.
Yeah. I tell you what, I could use the rain tonight, but I don't think it's going to happen. Well, everybody, we are glad Landon's finally back in the chair here. I guess we're glad he's back in the chair. He's not out remote in the pickup on his flip phone, which we'll get to here in a little bit. But he's back in the saddle again, and so are we. This is the Dryline Farmer Podcast. We're here each and every week, or at least as best we can. I'm Brett Carlson, your host. And as I said earlier, that's Landon Nolan. And before we go, you're supposed to do like your intros and stuff at the beginning, like where you can download and everything. Which,
hello.
That's, yeah, thanks for that one. That was a succinct one. Yeah. You're going to find us iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, SoundCloud, Spotify. I guess we're on Spotify. That's what Delaney and Mike are doing over there. Via the Global Ag Network. And that's the big one you're going to really want to find it on. Not to mention when we drop this thing out on Facebook and Twitter, you're going to find it at Trader Brent. Landon's going to retweet it.
No Twit Landon 44.
That's where you're going to find it all. And you're going to find just hilarity and everything that ensues with it. We'd like to thank Casey Seymour coming in last week and jumping on the podcast with us. He always gives a great number of insights and a commentary and quick quips. And he is now our official chief. He's our chief Ukrainian correspondent. Landon was in the running for it, but since he'd never been there and Casey had been, he's our chief Ukrainian correspondent. We're still looking for that Luxembourg correspondent, but
I've hardly left the county.
Yeah, you're a Desmith correspondent from what I can tell. So yeah, it's great and wonderful. Mm-hmm. Well, everybody, we're glad to be here. We've got, you know, Donald Trump doesn't drink, but what if he did? So we're going to come up with a few ideas. What might be going on if he drank? Because we all know he's a little off the wall to begin with. And Atlanta just came across this one a little earlier, right as we got started. Adrian Peterson, he went Mike Tyson on his finances, like almost to the exact level of Mike Tyson. It's six figures, seven figures, eight figures. He made nine figures in that. That's $100 million, isn't it?
Yeah, just playing football, not counting endorsements.
Yeah, $100 million plus endorsements, and he's broker than a joke. So we're going to go over some of that, do a little sports talk here, and let's see what else. Yeah, we're also kidnapped by our phones. We didn't have a run-in, and this is, 2 months ago now that we went to the State Angus Show down there in Belton, Texas, and coming back, we were in two different vehicles, and we lost contact with the second vehicle, and all of a sudden, the world goes straight to hell. And yeah, we can't figure anything out. So, Landon, all the wheat, I guess, is finally in. Are you shipping wheat out? Are you getting anybody got any stragglers?
Oh, we're shipping out as much as we can. You see a load here and there, but we're pretty much done.
And you said it was a big harvest.
It was. I think it turned out to be the sixth biggest harvest in Hereford grain history.
The sixth hardest harvest?
Sixth biggest harvest.
That's what she said. Yeah, anyways.
Not hardest.
Oh, okay. Well, that's going to be hard. That is in our commercial, in our sponsor this week. So keep a tune to that. So, yeah, that's great. We've got sprinklers rolling hard. We had a freak storm, a freak rain shower right here at my house. Fortunately, I have zero corn here at the house, so I didn't get any benefit out of it. We did get it rained like 8/10. This was Friday. We went and got catfish at Humbarger. And Landon, I don't know if you heard about the truck brake failure at Milo Center.
I did not. I heard your brother got some hail, though, on his cotton.
Yeah, we got some hail. That's all that same night. We got hail, we got rain. And so I'll be sending – anyway, Hereford, I'm surprised you didn't hear about this, Landon. That's kind of like in your wheelhouse.
Tell me about this truck, Brent.
So we go over to Humbarger to get us some catfish and come back, and we're going to turn up the elevator at Milo Center, and I see a 1,500-gallon fertilizer liquid truck almost – I would say it wasn't at 90 degrees, but it was about, I would say, 70 degrees pointed down into the ditch. I'm like, I don't think that's right. So I go over there. We roll by there. And sure enough, this truck is face down in a ditch that just recently got dug out because a month before this, another truck or something, a large pickup or something, dropped a lot of diesel there. And they've had an environmental cleanup right there at the highway intersection of 385 and 1057. And so they've had an excavator, they've had wheel loaders, and they even cut our phone company's brand new line of fiber. So we had to come out there and splice it and get that done. But anyway, so this thing is about, so now this newly cut trench is what? I'd say 8 feet deep by maybe, I'm going to say 5 foot wide. And the truck fit very nicely. And there's like the grade is 90%, or is a, let's see, what is that, 90% grade or 180% grade? Straight up and down would be 90. So 90% grade, up and down. So there's no slope. And so this truck, as you can imagine, is nose first in the ditch. And it's not quite high-centered. And there's a little diesel leaking out of it, but it's not the line, unbelievably enough. It's actually, the tank was full, and it was leaking out of the top of the tank at the cap because the cap either got shook loose or it wasn't all the way tight to begin with. So, anyway, I saw call old Lester up. He's the man down there at Milo Center now, and I called him up. He's like, "Well, thank you. I just got out of the shower. I'll head that way." Anyway, so
what'd he do? Pull it up by hand?
He just almost could, man. This dude is a freaking stout mule. Anyway, so he rolls out there, and we get to talking. Well, he parked it on the scales, and the scales is oriented north to south. And he had it on the scales pointed south. And I'm like, I don't think there was that big a wind in this storm that came through about 30 minutes ago. And so all I can figure, Landon, is y'all didn't get the right brake guy or y'all need a brake guy or whatever. But this thing rolled a good 50 yards straight south until it hit the ditch.
Wow.
And I'm like, we're going to have to – we can't pull this thing out because it's way too deep, and we'll break, like, the axle off before we get it pulled out. But – so we got a wheel loader down there, and we got a tractor down there. And first, we hooked it up with a tow rope, which, Landon, becomes a – if this was a slingshot and David was, and Goliath, this was a David and Goliath story, and this thing breaks, this could kill a Goliath the size of – like Montana or something, because we got way too long a tow rope. It's like, I don't know, what is it, 20 feet? It's long. It's like 20 feet long. It's like a 3.5, 4, almost a 4-inch thick tow rope, nylon tow rope. And it'll stretch and stretch and stretch. And I don't know what the give point is, but I don't want to be there to find out. Anyway, so we hooked on there, and I just start pulling. And mind you, it just rained, so everything's really wet. And, I mean, it didn't even hardly stretch. It just came out. Like, I was pulling it out of, like, a little short rut or something. And he just – anyway, from what I could figure, it was wet enough where it slid the tires. And it just popped right out. And hell, Lester brought me 2 loads of fertilizer the next day. So I was
nice.
didn't break the air lines, didn't break the fuel lines, didn't even hurt the radiator. And I think it bent his bumper a little bit, and that's about it. So
that always happens.
Anyway, so a little brake failure there at the Hereford Grain. So my bill should be in the mail anytime. So be looking for that, Landon. I should get a bonus dividend this year.
We'll keep an eye out for it.
Great and wonderful stuff. So yeah. Landon, any excitement? Did you pull anybody out of a ditch this past weekend?
Not that I know of. No.
How's the new pump and motor going?
Oh, it's going good. It's going good. Dropped down a size, and it's running pretty smooth. Been running nonstop for a week now. So.
See, I have to go up a size. Whenever I find a pump and motor, there's always more water there after I get done pulling it out. I always have to go up 5 horses.
This is the second time we've done this in 2 years, so we went down a size.
Pump a little air?
Evidently.
No sand?
No sand and no warranty.
No sand and no warranty. Well, that's kind of what you get. So maybe it's the same guys that worked on the brakes on that truck. So I don't know. Maybe your pump guy and your brake guy are getting together on the weekends and figuring stuff out. Well, guys, we've got topics. Let's just go ahead and do this whole phone thing. Landon, we were coming back from Belton, from the Texas State Angus Show, and it was me, and we kind of started the return trip off a little rough because I was going by what the phone said because I'd never been down there, so I was just following the road around, and the wife kind of gets in the ear and says, no, this is not the way you need to go. This is quicker. I'm like, I'm following the map. So I'm going around.
You've already messed up.
I found this out a few minutes later. So I'm like, I'm just following the map. I'm looking at the end destination. It's home. The destination is home, and I'm online. So anyway, so it's me and the wife and the boys, and we're in the lead, and then we've got her sister and brother-in-law. So my sister-in-law and brother-in-law and Ma. No, I'm sorry. My brother-in-law and Ma and Paul. So they're in that wagon, and they're following behind us, and they want to go the way Joanna wants to go, and I'm going the way the map tells me to go. So we kind of get into it, not a whole lot, but it gets really quiet for the next, I don't know, 50 to 60, 70 miles, and we're just kind of sitting there pouting at each other and not saying anything. And boys are on their iPads, they got them blaring loud, and we're as quiet as a freaking tomb in the front seats and everything. So we finally get back and where we're supposed to go, and we're on the big interstate and everything, and I'm not playing HQ words because I'm doing a podcast. And anyway, so I'm pouting because I'm like, this was going to put us the same place that your directions were going to put us. Okay, and this is after now 100 miles. I started admitting stuff. I'm like, okay, it would have probably gotten us, what, another 3 minutes faster to where we were going. So anyway, so that really helps things a lot, especially when I said it in a really congenial voice. And anyway, so we get down the road another 200 or 300 miles. We get close to Brownwood. And this is getting about, is this lunchtime? No, yeah, lunchtime. And so we're looking for a place to stop, looking for a place to eat. So she starts calling. We've made up already. So we start calling, and nobody, and there's three.
In front of the kids?
Yeah. Huh? Yeah, oh, yeah. No. not that kind of makeup stuff.
I'm joking.
I know. Anyway, so we start calling. So mind you, we've got three people to call. We can call three phones that are in the pickup that's supposed to be following us, and we've already lost them, like, I don't know, an hour ago. So not one phone works. Not one phone answers. Actually, Scott's phone answers, but it only goes straight to voicemail. Ma and Pa's phones don't work at all. There's absolutely no voicemail. There's no ring. There's nothing. So we go from kind of fighting about directions on the highway to automatically planning my mother and father-in-law's funeral and my brother-in-law's funeral all within a matter of 10 minutes because everybody knows if you don't answer your phone, and you're on a trip with somebody, you're automatically rear-ended the back end of an ice cream truck and died in a pile of boiling flames of vanilla and sugar and milk. Somebody probably licked ahead of time. And now they're on the shoulder of some highway somewhere, and She's almost literally looking back for the black plume of smoke miles back, because we just know they died in a fiery crash with a gooseneck trailer and a big four-door Dodge pickup. So, needless to say, they showed up. We're parked, I don't know, in some CVS parking lot. The boys are still on their iPad. They're piddling around or whatever. And we're already, you know, calling Parkside Chapel Funeral Home to have them three. We're going to have three deliveries for you here pretty quick by the time we get back. So, anyway, so we're calling and calling. Nobody's answering. And finally, it was like, all right, we're going to go. I think we get out in the parking lot, and I don't know why that's going to help. I guess we think we're going to get a better signal. But we call each other to see if our phones are working. And, yeah, our phones are working. So that makes it even worse, because our phones work, so their phones should work. Well, anyway, we get to talking about why we're so happy we switched over to AT&T, because Verizon sucks something awful. And, of course, they're on Verizon, so that gives us a little relief. So we start walking back to pick up again. And pretty soon, what do we see? We see them rolling into town. Not a smoke mark on that pickup anywhere. The tires are in great shape. The trailer's not dented or anything.
Did they have ice cream?
Didn't even have ice cream. They had, they were taking shots, but, you know, that's about the worst of it. So they just roll into town, and, you know, of course, they're all calm as hell because they don't think we've been trying to call them and trying to find them and thinking that they just, you know, rolled over in front of some carnival ride. So, anyway, we go to pizza place, and they're like, oh, okay, sorry about that. And we roll on back home. And, well, first we go, listen, what do? Eat at a Schlotzky's, and it was pretty awesome for a Schlotzky's. So we finish up that trip. So, the moral of the story is, if somebody's not answering their phone, therefore that means they're dead. I mean, okay, Landon, do you ever lose? I know you've got the old, you probably have an analog flip phone, don't you?
No, just a regular flip.
What was your first phone? This one?
No, I had a couple before this one. This was what? I got my first phone in 06? No, 05. Fall of 05. I went all the way through college without a cell phone.
Wow. I got a college. I got a phone in 1997 when I turned 16. I had a bag phone. It was the Shiznit.
That's pretty cool.
Damn right it was. I mean, of course, it was $3 a minute to use it, but it did work everywhere. I mean, Neil Armstrong could have taken this thing and they wouldn't have had any communication breakdown. They could have talked from the far side of the moon with this thing.
My dad had a dial phone in his pickup.
You mean a rotary?
Yeah.
Yeah, rotary phone.
In the early 80s.
Yeah, my dad, I don't know if he had a rotary phone. I think he did have a rotary phone. It was like cream colored. And later on.
Motorola,
yeah. And so he had the phone where they hooked it into the horn. And it would honk the horn if the phone rang. So, I mean, that was pretty legit even back in the day. So I went from the back phone to, what was it, the first? It was a Motorola. I think it was a Motorola. Maybe it was a Nokia. Anyway, and it was a handheld, you know, wireless. It wasn't a corded or anything. And the rest is history. I remember back in the day when the Razor was the iPhone of the, like, 2000s.
Pretty cool.
It was pretty tight. Everybody who has iPhones now had a Razor then. It was pretty sleek, thin, and it still couldn't do anything. It would drop phone calls like nothing else. Well, guys, we've got to get to our sponsor this week. The sponsor's a little more touchy. I don't know if any of y'all have heard the Noxatril commercials. So I'll break it down for you. There's two chicks talking, and the one chick's telling the guy that, or her friend, that she's been going out with this guy, and he's great, and he's wonderful, he's sweet.
That's nice.
He walks old ladies across the street. He gives money to charity. He's hot. He's rich. He's funny. But when we get to the bedroom, he couldn't perform. So I dumped him. Can you imagine if it was the reverse were flipped and it was two dudes? Hey, yo, man, I've been dating this chick. She's got a tight ass. She's got a hell of a set of cans. She goes to church every Sunday. She's rich. I don't have to work. I can be a stay-at-home husband. But, man, when it gets to the bedroom, she won't put out. So I dumped her. I mean, can you imagine the fallout from that, from the feminist movement that would happen if that commercial aired? I mean, where are the feminists on this thing? Or where are the... I was thinking earlier today, aren't feminists female supremacists? Wouldn't that make them female supremacists? Because they really don't want to be equal to men. Who wants to be equal to anybody? I'm stumping.
Who wants to be equal to a man?
I mean, men don't live as long as women. So, I mean, I guess they can start dying earlier. They're equal. They're already supreme there.
True.
I do love the Twitter account. I do love the Twitter account, Why Women Live Longer. And they have a pretty good explanation of why women live longer. They've got all these videos of dudes doing stupid stuff. And it's pretty legit. This one guy, they're on this old paved road, and they strap like these, like four dozen Roman candles to his back, and he's on a pair of rollerblades. And I mean, this dude, I mean, he never crashes. This dude freaking goes like a mile down the highway. And I think it's a midget is what I think it is. I think he's a little guy, so it's pretty. I can see what they're getting at. So we've got our commercial for ladies, and we're gonna get into Trump doesn't drink, but what if he did? And Adrian Peterson needs to talk to Dave Ramsey. All that and more on the Dryline Farmer Podcast.
Oh, yes, it's always Christmas time. Hey, everybody, this is Catherine Van Landingham, and I am in the assisted living development of the Shady Acres Retirement Home in Luxembourg, Texas. Don't look for it on the map, because it doesn't exist. Well, I'm here today to tell you about your pink palace. Ladies, does your husband come home on the weekends because he's been gone all week on the road pushing vacuum cleaners and armrests for airplanes? Don't ask me why, but he comes home hotter than two-barreled pistol that just got through three battles in the Civil War. I know, my dear departed husband Harold was in the Civil War twice. He went on leave once, and then he came home to make all sweet, sweet, sweet dancing love to me, and I wasn't having none of it because I just wasn't in the mood. Well, that's because I didn't have my pink palace in a bottle. Well, as you all know, we're in the 21st century. And yes, this may sound like an alcoholic beverage. There is several key safety guards when it comes to administering this to your young lady. Not your young lady. I mean, she's over 18. This thing has a fingerprint security measure on it. That's right. Before you partake of it, you know what you're doing. After a few drinks, you and your husband go to the store, buy it, you record your fingerprint, and then when you're kind of not in the mood, but you want to be in the mood, but you're not in the mood, he'll ask you if you will put your fingerprint on it. That way there's no confusion on your sobriety. Yes, Christmas time in your pink palace.
Try it today.
Hey, cabrón, hold your horses, man. I'll be there in a minute. Nah, you press pod, man.
Kid, I'm sorry. Sorry, cabrón. We're watching Alita Battle Angel on DirecTV, and he won't pause it. He always takes pausey stuff, so always have to get into a fight with him or whatever. But, Diego, you know, you live with him. You know, you can't live without him. He's my cabrón, you know? He's my jefe. You know what I mean? Anyway, you want to know about the weather? The weather's kind of boring. I mean, it won't rain no more. I know you had that freak shower, like, at your house or whatever. And, like, I know that's not where your corn is. And I wish you probably, like, want some right now. But I'm sorry, but it's just not looking too bueno for you right now. I mean, it's kind of the dogged days of summer and everything. I'm going to pull over your forecastle and kind of tell you anyway. I mean, it's going to be, I know you just got through that heat wave. But it's like, you know, for like the next couple of days, it's going to be like low 90s or whatever. And then kind of maybe, I don't know, kind of hot, maybe by the weekend or whatever. I know you played some pizza golf last Sunday. And it sucked. I mean, you started out pretty good or whatever, and then it sucked really, like, bad. But, hey, you know, that's how the ball rolls, you know. I mean, sometimes it doesn't roll at all, you know what I say? 89, 93, 95, and then it heats up, man. 96, 97, and kind of back to maybe a chance of rain, like on Monday, in like 92 degrees. But you know, don't hold your breath or whatever. Hey, but so this week, hey man, I thought we got enough of these commercials. No, you gotta do the read, but so. Alright, hang on. Hey, don't press play. Hey, this is for all you ladies out there. female enhancements for, you know, your sexy times. It's pink patterns. From what I can tell, Vato, it's just a pizza drink, like alcohol, and that's like supposed to get him in the mood. Hey, Vato, I gotta go. This is Rain Ricardo. And then I said, yo, I'm back to you.
Okay, thanks, Ricardo, for that report, forecast, and everything in between. Well, Landon, we've got a president in office, and actually, this is the second Republican president in a row that doesn't drink. We know that I don't know if Trump has ever drank, but George W. Bush used to be a pretty good partier, but he got on the wagon, and now he's a tea drinking Texan. But we're gonna get into that. So here we go. It's Trump doesn't drink, but what if he did? On the Dryland Farmer Podcast. So, Landon, do you think that did he ever drink before, or is he a teetotaler now, or do we know?
I don't know, Brent.
We may have to look that up. Has Donald Trump ever drank? As we look this up, has Trump ever drank? Why doesn't Trump like alcohol? This is from the South China Morning Post. So you know it's a legit newspaper and probably doesn't have any censorship in it. Why doesn't Trump like alcohol? Despite the image Trump has cultivated of himself as an uber wealthy playboy, the president is a proud teetotaler who says he has never had a drink, smoked cigarettes, or consumed drugs. Yeah. Let's see. U.S. Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh uttered the word beer 29 times before the yada yada yada. I liked beer. I still like beer. But one person who does not like beer and who does not admire Kavanaugh's enthusiasm for the malt beverage is the man who nominated him for the high court, U.S. President Donald Trump. I don't drink beer, Trump told reporters Tuesday. I've never had a beer, and I'm not saying good or bad. Some people like it. I just not to do that for a lot of reasons. A day earlier, Trump told reporters that his abstinence from alcohol was one of my only good traits. I have never heard. This has got to be South China Post. This is the first self-degrading comment this guy's ever made. Though Trump has been defending Kavanaugh in public, he has told confidants in recent days that he did not like to focus on the nominee's drinking habits, according to the numerous advisors.
Even Trump says, if I did drink, can you imagine what a mess I'd be?
you wouldn't like me when I'm mad.
I'd be the world's worst.
I'd be the world's worst alcoholic. The president doesn't like drinking, and so Kavanaugh talking about how much he likes beer put Trump off. It takes a lot to put the Trump off, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's not disqualifying or anything serious, but he doesn't like drinkers. So, yeah, I don't know. You think, of course, we know he eats, like, lots of Big Macs and everything, but, okay. So, he doesn't drink, but what if he did? So, Landon, have you come up with a list? Because I've got a list of a few things I think what would happen if Trump did drink. What would be going on? The world of politics right now is wild as it is, even without this guy on the sauce.
Well, I think the White House would have some pretty epic presidential cornhole matches going on going out in the front lawn.
That's actually partly one of mine. Yeah, they already had it. Did you see that news story where they had a TNL sprinkler there in the front lawn of the White House? They didn't have it going or anything, but I'm sure it probably had a flat or probably had some kind of gearbox go out or planetary go out.
Hydraulic oil shooting out.
Yeah, hell yes. They're always trying to looking for a leak on the White House lawn. So, Landon, that's kind of minor. I was kind of getting a little more. I think it'd be a little more serious. Like, for instance, I think we'd be at war with Greenland because he said they lied about all the ice. I think he'd make that presidential trip, see all the lice, and say all the ice, and say to hell with it. So yeah, I think we could take it over pretty quick. I think it belongs to, I think Greenland belongs to the, I think it's the Netherlands, maybe Denmark, as that is. So that would appear a short war, you know,
especially if they lied about green beer.
Word, I mean. Green beer, yeah, especially at that. So, yeah, war with Greenland wouldn't be good. I mean, it'd be quick, but it wouldn't be good. I think no more holidays. definitely no more holidays. That we'd everybody have to work through Christmas, Thanksgiving, Columbus Day. I don't know, maybe even Martin Luther. No, they'd probably have to do Martin Luther King Day. I don't think he would cancel that one. But pretty much no more holidays, especially New Year's Day, because everybody's going to be working on New Year's Day. Oddly enough as it is, Hillary would be Secretary of Lesbian Affairs. Not so much because she is one, but she just looks like one with the pantsuits and everything. I think they would create a new department for lesbian affairs just so they could put her somewhere where they can keep an eye on her. I think that would be a possible outcome of Trump getting on the sauce. Let's see here. To your cornhole point, I think he would challenge North Korea and Venezuela to a cornhole tournament for all of their oil and rice. And what would America offer them? New cars. Let's see. Yeah, new cars would be pretty great. He wouldn't just be grabbing anymore.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, Landon, here we go. He would only speak in Klingon at all state dinners. I think that would really get a big... You think he'd be a pretty big stand-up comedian? I tell you what I hate about the airplane. I hate airports. They're good. Does anybody here agree with me? Airports are the worst, right? Let's see. He would buy Iowa and sell it to Texas for 15 bitcoins, a steer, and Robert Earl Keen.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, that'd be a pretty good deal. I mean, that's the art of the deal right there. Especially Robert Earl Keen. I mean, talk about a guy who can't sing that has some great songs. I mean, that's Robert Earl Keen, Gringo Honey. I was just playing that before you got here. My whole guitar playing time has been cut down on this whole summertime stuff. I got to work and all that, so that kind of sucks. Let's see, Landon. What else do we got here? Yeah, he wouldn't just be grabbing that anymore. Yeah, I don't know. That'd be kind of scary. We'd have to. I don't know if he would just be gay for the stay in the White House or not, but maybe he would stick just to Melania. What do you think?
I would hope so.
He probably wouldn't be getting. He'd probably give unlimited interviews at that point.
I was gonna say his tweets would probably be a little bit more crazy, but I don't know if he'd even notice.
I think Twitter would block him probably at that point because they've already blocked a whole lot of other stuff that's a lot less venomous than what old Trump's put out. Okay, Landon, anything else? You got anything else on Trump?
That's all I got on that.
All right, Landon. We're going to go to the story that Landon likes so much. We're talking Money Matters with Adrian Peterson. And he's been a great football player. He killed Texas Tech when he played at Oklahoma. I mean, just ran us over like pretty much any run offense does.
I think we beat him once.
Did we beat him once?
I think so.
Well, there was not just him. So, yeah. Let's see. Adrian Peterson, let's get over to this story here. I gotta hit the back button a couple times because Adrian Peterson. This just blows my mind how a cat can go through that much money in that amount of time.
Well, seven kids with six different women is a pretty good start.
Well, yeah, that'll knock a hole in it, no pun intended. But let's see. Okay, Landon, over here on this is on Deadspin. This article is by Lauren Thiessen. I wonder if she's related to Tiffany Amber Thiessen, you think?
I was more wondering about his attorney, Chase Carlson, to see if he was related to you.
I hope he is. I mean, you think he's working pro bono on this deal? Because we know Peterson's been working bono quite a bit on his stuff.
You know, if you're going to be an attorney, the one name you probably don't want is Chase.
No. Ambulance Chase. Here comes old Ambulance Chase. Yeah, it's like an ice cream man named Cone. Yeah, so the story continues on to say, despite being by far the highest paid running back in the history of the NFL, Washington's Adrian Peterson, and I forgot that he was at Washington, but he appears to be deep in debt. That's according to a report by The Athletic today that made public the details of an August 2018 lawsuit against Peterson, which coupled with two other past cases that have gone against the former MVP, paint a dire financial picture.
It's kind of funny because you have the saying, mo money, mo problems. Well, it turns out that no money is still some problems.
Because, no money does not equal no problems. The first sign that something was wrong with Peterson's finances came in February 2008 when Peterson was ordered by a Minnesota court to pay $600,000 to Crown Bank. Peterson had taken out a $2.4 million loan from the lender in May of 16 to refinance other debts. So he was borrowing money to pay borrowed money. But when he injured his knee later that year and the Vikings decided to make him a free agent rather than pay him $18 million he would have been owed for the 17 season, Peterson defaulted on the loan. That injured knee and the consequential loss of the huge payday appears to have affected his ability to pay off other loans as well. Why does this guy have loans if he's already banked how many millions? Well, obviously he has
over 100 million, and not to mention endorsements.
Yeah, I still haven't found what he's making in endorsements. Can you think of who his endorsements are?
I don't know if he has any right now. I did see on Twitter he's doing a commercial for Eastern Autos.
Eastern Autos. If he starts doing Steven's five-star car truck center commercials, hey, your brother-in-law needs to get him on Whiteface Ford.
He probably could. Let's see. So, did you ever see the interview with J.J. Watt where he said he hasn't spent one penny of any of the money he's earned? And, I mean, he's probably closing in on $100 million himself. The only money he has spent is from endorsements. He has saved every penny of his contracted salary.
It seems like I might have heard that. I remember Jay Leno saying that he hasn't spent any of his Tonight Show money. It's all from stand-up comedy gigs.
Wow, that's awesome.
And there's no telling how much Jay Leno is. So, yeah, I say that. This fellow that worked for us years ago, he passed away. Gosh, it's been 10 years now. And he had a big-time Texas, hard hick accent. He was highly intelligent, but he had a thick accent. And we were all going home from Harvest one night, and we were talking about, Jay Leno's big on cars and everything, and he got to talking about him. And we were on the two-way radios, and he was doing it. And he was like, yeah, I was watching that the other night. He had his cars on, and what was that? I never can remember his name. Gay Leonard? Oh, and it took me a minute to figure out Jay Leno, but it was, yeah, I never would have put Gay Leonard on Jay Leno anyway. Yeah, so I remember seeing an interview that he hasn't spent any of his Tonight Show money. It's all been his stand-up comedy gigs.
Wow.
So, yeah, pretty wild stuff. So
so it says in here, Brent, that he trusted the wrong people.
I would say.
Now who do you think some of the people are that he might have trusted?
Well, I've got a few ideas here. All the Enron investors, I think they would probably they could probably be in on this whole thing, because we all know how that turned out. Enron, WorldCom, Pets.com, maybe some Pets.com board of directors members were on there. What about you?
The first one I have would be the guy that told him not to go to that last year of college.
Yeah. Did he skip his last year of college? Yeah. I don't think what do you think his degree was in? I bet it was in finance. Was it not finance? It wasn't finance. It probably wasn't. You think it might have been general ag?
General studies.
General studies. What's the major at A&M? They say a lot of the football players. It's ag. I can't remember right now, but it's really easy degree.
Easy ag.
Easy ag. Ag com. Be a mom. Ag is stay in bed, baby. Okay, yeah, that's probably pretty good. I would think Mike Tyson probably could be in on this deal.
He might have been hanging out with old Mike T.
I'm thinking a whole bunch of drunk sailors.
Yeah.
Because they're kind of notorious for not being able to hold their money in. They not only do they spend all their money at the dock, they come back with the clap or the drip.
Yeah, that too.
When they come back to the ship. So drunk sailors might be in on this finance team that he's got.
I was thinking that cocaine in a can guy from the Chappelle Show, he might have trusted him.
Hey, man, is that the guy that's always scratching?
Yeah. I got more of them free handouts.
The grasshopper from the nursery rhymes, where the ants doing all the work, and the grasshopper playing all summer long.
Yeah.
The grasshopper could be in on that.
All those guys from the hen that's making the corn, asking the duck and the dog and cat and them.
Oh, yeah.
The helper, mother hen or whatever.
I'm not up on that nursery rhyme, Lenny.
Maybe Creed Bratton from The Office.
That's right. Or Michael Scott, for that matter.
Yeah, that too.
What did he sell his condo for 80% on the money? Yeah. 80 cents on the dollar? That was always a wise decision.
Sold in like 15 minutes.
Yeah. Or who bought the Magic Beans? I think the Magic Beans.
The Magic Legumes.
Yeah, the Magic Legumes. Yeah. Dr. Copperpot's Magic Legumes. Yeah.
Chester Copperfield. Magic Legumes. Yeah.
Chester Copperpot was in the Goonies, I believe. Yeah, that was good stuff. Pretty good stuff. I don't know. I would say France, because didn't they sell us like a third of the entire country of North America for like $15 million, the Louisiana Purchase?
Yeah, that was a bad deal.
Yeah,
for them.
Yeah, it turned out pretty good for us. I mean, we had to get Louisiana, but, you know, I guess we need that port.
Louisiana. Yeah.
Louisiana. Hurricane Harbor. That was a great, I never went to Hurricane Harbor, which is now, what, Wet n' Wild or something.
But that is amazing to lose that much money. Like, Allen Iverson, he played, I don't know, 15 years in the NBA, and he made, like, $270 million and, like, blew it all, like, bank, like, no money.
Yeah. Of course, I mean, so he, did he stay in New Jersey the whole time?
No,
Philadelphia.
No, he was in Philadelphia and then Denver, and I'm not sure where he, if he even went anywhere after that.
So, I mean, chances are Pennsylvania is a pretty high. I bet it's a high tax state, isn't it? So, figure this guy made $200-something million. He's paying at least a third of it just in taxes, just in federal income taxes. I don't know if Pennsylvania's got a state income tax or not.
So he's still got about $200 million. I mean, where does it go?
Yeah, where? I mean, you can't buy that many Hot Pockets. I mean, you just can't eat that many.
Yeah.
I don't know. How many? Did he have a stable of ladies as well?
I have no idea.
Or we may have to look up AI. Man, I mean, that dude was pretty much straight-up gangster. I remember when he was at a press conference, and he was, I don't know if he was with, I mean, a literal gang guy or not, but he was talking about how snitches get stitches. It's like, hey, man, snitches get stitches. Guys, God, Allen AI is 44 years old.
Mm-hmm.
He was first overall pick in 1996. He has got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 kids. Tiara, Isaiah, Messiah, that's a little presumptuous, don't you think?
Yeah.
Dream, and Allen Jr.
Oh, nice.
I mean, it's Allen Iverson II, but so Tiara, Isaiah, Messiah, Dream, and Allen Jr. Who do you think is the favorite of those kids? I'm thinking Messiah's got to be in the top. To the top 10%, what do you think?
I'd probably go with Allen Jr.
Allen Jr., well, he is his namesake. That is true. Yeah. I guess, AI did play against OMJ. So.
That's weird when you name your last kid the junior.
The junior.
Like, this one, finally. Yeah. This one.
This one can take my name. Well, I don't know, though. You called the one. So, Messiah, it's Messiah Lauren, but that, I don't know, Lauren could still be a dude. Messiah Lauren is, I think... I don't know. There's been a lot of ups and downs in relations with Tawana Turner.
So, Brandon, what would you do with $100 million?
Well, after giving a third of it to the government, let's see. I would give it to my friend Ajawa and North Securities.
Nice.
Office space. Let's see. Oh, man. What would I do with $100 million? I would probably I would do a couple of obvious things. I'd buy a plane. Definitely buy a plane. Maybe a, let's see, I've got $100 million. I'm going to buy a $10 million plane. Of course, it takes how much to keep it up for every month? To fly it, it's like, what, $10,000 an hour, you think?
I have no idea.
Maybe $10,000 an hour.
I don't like flying, so I wouldn't do that.
Oh, let's see. I would probably buy, what would I buy? Maybe put it in CDs.
That's what I was going to say. I'd have a couple of CDs with like $25 million just earning some interest there.
Buy Bitcoin and gold. No, let's see. I don't know. I would probably go all over the world, first class all the way. And you could probably do that for what, a couple million?
I would think so.
You could go all around the world, first class, staying everything badass, $2 million. That's okay. So you've done that. Now what? You would see every. Ooh, I know. I would get a seat on the Tesla or Musk's SpaceX ride to go to the outer atmosphere. That would be. I would do that for sure.
I might get a new used pickup. That'd be kind of fun.
You would. You wouldn't even get a new phone. I know you would.
I wouldn't. No, I wouldn't.
Yeah, you're a pain in the ass that way.
But I guess nobody told Adrian Peterson that, hey, when you're 34, you're probably only going to be making $1,030,000 a year.
So. Well, he's going to be getting, what is an NFL pension? Because what do you play for 3 years? You get a lifetime pension, don't you?
Yeah, I'm sure it's pretty good.
It's pretty good stuff. Okay, so continuing on in the story, he was ordered by a Maryland court to pay $2.4 million to Democracy Capital Corporation, a Bethesda-based lender that had let a business Peterson owned borrow $4 million in April of 16. Adding to those judgments, in August of 18, the Atlantic Uncovered filed a New York Supreme Court. According to the judgments, the lawsuit the Athletic uncovered is asking for $6.6 million, including interest and legal fees. According to the lawsuit, Peterson borrowed $5.2 million from D'Angelo Vehicle Sales, not a car company, in October of 16. According to exhibits in the court documents, Peterson took $3.1 million of that loan and used it to pay back a lender called Thrivist Specialty Funding and gave $1.3 million to his loan with Crown Bank. According, do you think he's walking around with like a briefcase with just like cash hanging out the sides of it?
I don't know. Is Crown Bank like Sun Loan Company?
I don't know if it's title. We get your title. You got like a clear title.
23%.
Yeah, 20% more than that. Let's see. So he was yada yada yada. If you see Peterson at a Red Box getting a DVD, you know that he's pretty much hit rock bottom. He has personally made nearly over $100 million in his career, but in recent years his annual earnings has declined significantly. According to SpotTrack, the running back has made as much as $20.5 million just in 2011. Apparently there wasn't a drought where he was at in 2011. And made $12 million as recently as 16, but last year in Washington he made just $1 million. Peterson played all 16 games with Washington in 18 and rushed over 1,000 yards for the first time since 15. He claimed that he saw himself playing in the NFL for maybe two or three more years. So, moral of the story is put some under your mattress. Well, I don't know. His mattress gets lots of bouncing, so maybe that's not the best place to put it. He's got seven kids by six ladies.
Yeah, that child support would eat a lot of that up, man.
Well, I mean, I guess Washington Redskins, they have to withhold it, don't they? His child support six different ways?
I assume so.
Because I don't know if he's married to any of these ladies or not. Oh, shoot. Well, Landon, that's getting long in our podcast. We've got 45 minutes in there, so we're going to get out of here. Anything else you want to add? Those drunk sailors, they make for some bad financial advisors.
Mm-hmm. They do.
Well, guys, we're going to get out of here. Once again, we want to thank Casey Seymour for bringing his talent on last week, and we're going to get out of here. And until next time, everybody, you hang loose, you hang tight, you hang every which way you want to. And we'll ask you, what side of the line are you on?
The Drotline Farmer Podcast brought to you by
Your Pink Palace Won't Disappoint. Pink Palace, just ask for the thumbprint, and everything's on the up and up. That's what she said.
Thanks, Catherine. The Dryline Farmer Podcast, all rights reserved, 2019. And now a member of the Global Ag Network.